Tonight I'd like to ask you to turn your Bibles with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11. In verse 28, we read these words. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let's look to the Lord again in prayer. Father, we thank you for this occasion we have tonight to gather in this place, the place that you've ordained that we should meet together in your presence. And we thank you for the prayers that have been prayed, the offering that's been taken up. It's a great ministry, the ministry of tithing and giving offerings to you. And we all need your help to be faithful in that. And we thank you for each one who's here tonight, each family who's represented here. And we pray that not only tonight, but in the whatever short days we have left on this earth, that it might be our mission to serve you with a whole heart and in sincerity, and to be looking for the soon coming of our Savior. And it's in his name that we ask these things. Amen. The Lord said in this passage we just read that he said, come unto me. And he said, learn of me. Come unto me and learn of me. And he mentions a yoke. That's something that I'm sure in Bible times everyone knew what a yoke was. We don't all live on farms like they used to in this country at one time, but we know what that is. The Lord Jesus wants his people to yoke up with him. Otherwise, life is not going to be easy. It's going to be hard when we try to do things our way, even serve the Lord. The only way that it can be a burden that is light and easy is if we yoke up with him. And by learning of him and taking that yoke upon us, we find rest. We find physical rest. We find spiritual rest. So that's something that we need to heed to these words. He says, I am meek, I am lowly in heart. And yet we know, as the psalmist told us in Psalm 113, the Lord is high above all nations, and his glory is above the heavens. And yet he says, I am meek and lowly in heart. Isaiah tells us in his prophecy that the nations are as a drop in a bucket and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles or the inhabited coasts as a very little thing. A drop in a bucket? I mean, it's hardly noticeable. And most times it's not noticeable. The dust and the balance, it doesn't even affect the weight. It's so minuscule. And the Lord, who is high above all nations, those nations are nothing to him and less than nothing. All the nations are made by him. All the nations are under his dominion. But all the nations are in comparison to him as a drop in the bucket, as the small dust in the balance, less than nothing, and vanity. When Solomon finished the temple, which David, his father, had gathered all the materials for. And when he brought the Ark of God into the temple was filled with the Shekinah glory of God, so much so that the priest couldn't even enter into it. And this is what Solomon spoke amongst the things that he spoke. He said these words to the congregation at that dedication service. He said, "But will God in very deed dwell with men on earth? Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee, how much less this house which I have built." There's many scriptures that talk about the Lord. And the psalmist said, "Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven?" He dwells and he has to humble himself just to observe the things that are in heaven and on earth. The Bible says that he raises up the poor out of the dust, and he lifteth up the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set them with princes, rulers, even with the princes of his people. Salvation requires what our opening scripture was telling us: meekness and lowliness of heart. Salvation requires a lowly and humble heart. Without it, you cannot be saved. Job said, "When men are cast down, then thou shalt say, there is lifting up, and he shall save the humble person." God saves humble people. And the psalmist said in Psalm 138, we mentioned that before, just a moment ago, "Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect." That word respect means to joyfully look upon the lowly. It is a joy to the heart of God to look upon the lowly. "Though the Lord be high, yet he hath respect unto the lowly. But the proud he knoweth afar off." He knew the prodigal son afar off, which was by the choice of that man. He was the one who chose to go to the far country. "The proud he knoweth afar off." He was far away from the house of his father, but joy came to the father when the son at the last said, "I am not worthy. I am not worthy." I wonder how often those words find a home in our hearts. "I am not worthy. Make me as a servant." Well, in the Gospel of Luke, we read that he hath put down the mighty from their seats. The mighty, he puts them down from their seats and exalteth them of low degree. "When men are cast down, then thou shalt say, there is lifting up. He shall save the humble person." He saves from the far country. I think of Joseph. I think of Joseph, a remarkable man. And you know the story. He gets sold by his brethren down into Egypt. He winds up in Potiphar's house. And due to the advances of Potiphar's wife and his rejection of them, she lies about him, and when Potiphar comes back, he puts him in the prison. So there's Joseph in the prison. And the butler and the baker of Pharaoh both also got thrown in prison, and Joseph was in charge of the prisoners. And you remember that there were the butler and the baker had each had a dream, and it really bothered them. Joseph noticed their countenance, and he asked them about it, and they told him their dreams. And Joseph interpreted the dreams. The baker talked about three baskets on my head full of baked goods, and the birds came and ate the baked goods. And the butler talked about three branches with blossoms on the vine. And Joseph said, in 3 days, you're going to be restored to your place. And he told the baker that the three baskets are 3 days, and in 3 days, Pharaoh is going to lift your head from you and hang you on a tree, and the birds are going to come and eat your flesh. And it happened. It's just according to his interpretation, that's exactly what happened 3 days later. And Joseph told the butler to remember me. Don't forget about me down here in this dungeon, in this prison. Remember me when you're restored to your position with Pharaoh. But the butler forgot about him. And two whole years went by. And then Pharaoh dreamed a dream. And it really troubled him. And he called all the wise men of Egypt, all of them, and none of them could interpret it. And the butler, you recall, he said, he said to Pharaoh, I remember my faults this day. When you put me in prison, there was a young Jewish guy there that could interpret dreams. And so Pharaoh said, bring him to me. And Joseph got himself ready, and he came in before Pharaoh. And Pharaoh told him his dream. In fact, let's turn back to Genesis chapter 41. Pharaoh had this dream of seven well-favored kine, which are cows, and they were fat and they fed in the meadow. And after them, seven other kine came up out of the river, and they were ill-favored and lean-fleshed. And so in Genesis chapter 41 and verse 14, then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came into Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there's none that can interpret it. I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. It is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. That phrase, it sort of reminds me of the phrase of the prodigal. I am not worthy. Joseph said to Pharaoh, it is not in me. And the reason he said that is because he knew that. He could have said, yes, Pharaoh, I can interpret dreams. The butler can testify of that. No, that was not the heart of Joseph. He said, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And And so Pharaoh had two dreams. We won't go into it, but 7 ears of corn. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh in verse 25, the dream of Pharaoh is one. You had two dreams, but they have the same meaning. God has showed Pharaoh. See, again, it's not Joseph. God hath showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. And he said that there's coming 7 years of plentifulness like there has never been. It's never been like this. But there's going to follow 7 years. 7 years of famine, and there, it's going to be so bad that the 7 years of plentifulness won't even be remembered. It's going to be so bad. And for that, in verse 32, and for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice, it is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. And then Joseph said these words. He said, now therefore, in verse 33, let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise and set him over the land of Egypt. And let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers of the land. And let them gather all the food of those good years and lay them up in store. And the food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine which shall be in all of Egypt. And then it says in verse 37, and the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said, Joseph, I think you're the man for this job. I think you need to handle this. Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has showed all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Pharaoh had gathered, laboriously had gathered all the wise men in his whole kingdom. None of them could interpret it. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand and arrayed him in fine linen and with a gold chain to ride in the second chariots behind him. And they cried, bow the knee. And of course, we're not getting into the typology of this, but all of this is in typology is representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. Joseph being one of the greatest Old Testament examples of Christ, or types of Christ. And they cried before him, bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land. He was just in prison. He was just in prison. And now he's the ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh. And without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in the land of Egypt. It's not surprising that the Lord would do something like this. When men are cast down, thou shalt say there's lifting up. And Joseph, he said, it is not in me. I wonder how often the words, those very words, or words similar to those, I wonder how often they're in our hearts. It is not in me. God shall do this or that. It's not in me. You know, humility with God, turn to Matthew chapter 18, is a sign of greatness. Humility with God is a sign of greatness. And I want to show you an example of that. The Lord Jesus said, I am meek and lowly of heart. Learn of me. Learn of me. How do we do that? We do it by opening this book often, daily, and meditating upon it, learning of the Lord Jesus, which is what we're doing tonight. We learn of Him by being faithful to go to our Sunday school, go to our church services. Learn of me. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I want you to see this example of humility, which is in Matthew chapter 18, in verse 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Lord, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" You know, can we sit on one of us on your right hand and one of us on your left hand in glory? Do you want us to call down fire out of heaven and consume these people? You know, we've been doing some great things, healing the sick. But what we really want to know, Lord, is who is the greatest? Who's the greatest? Verse 2. And Jesus called a little child to him. And he set him in the midst of them. There was a child there. I'm sure there were other children, but he called a child and he set him in the midst of them. And he said, "Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter the kingdom of God. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." That child heard the Lord's voice. The Lord Jesus called that child, and that child heard the Lord's voice, and that child obeyed. It wasn't a hard task. He just called him unto him. But the child obeyed. And the child became a showcase, as it was, a teacher of what true humility means. And that child's humility became the Lord's opportunity. That's who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. I hope that humbled those disciples, and I hope it humbles us. Because being the greatest is not doing some great thing. It's just hearing the Lord's voice, obeying the Lord's voice, and being the example that the Lord wants us to be in the sphere that He has called us to be in. And the Lord is the example of that. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." Because I'm just like that little child. I am meek. I am lowly in heart. You know, at the Last Supper, if you turn to John's Gospel, chapter 13, John 13. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he was come from God and went to God, he rose up from supper. And he laid aside his garments, and he took a towel, and he girded himself. And after that, he poured water into a basin. And I'm assuming that he probably got down on his knees because the feet of the disciples. He began to wash his disciples' feet. He began to wash his disciples' feet. We're talking about the one who is so high that he has to humble himself to look upon the heavens. That Christ. He washed his disciples' feet. I am meek and lowly in heart. Learn of me. Learn of me. And then he comes to Simon Peter and he says, Lord, that, not my feet. You'll never wash my feet. And the Lord said, if I don't wash your feet, you don't have any part with me. And the Peter said, not my feet only, but my head and my hands also. And then he says in verse 13, you call me master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. So I am. If I then, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet, as I have given you an example that you should do as I have done unto you. He's really talking about being a servant. Being a servant. And you know, meekness, when the Lord Jesus says, I am meek and lowly in heart, meekness is not weakness. You recall the time when the Lord was in the temple and he cleansed the temple, as they say, twice in his ministry. And the Bible says earlier in John's Gospel, he was in the temple and he was watching what was going on. There were people there selling sheep and oxen and doves and money changers sitting everywhere. And the Lord Jesus made a scourge. That's a whip. Scourges were what the Romans used as when they gave lashings in public as punishment. The Lord sat there and made one of those things. And then he took that scourge, the one who's meek and lowly in heart. He didn't tell his disciples, now look, fellas, I know that I've taught you and you know that my deity and, you know, that I have this meekness, but I'm going to set aside that part of my deity because I'm going to do something else. No, he didn't do that. He was meek and lowly. That doesn't mean you're weak. And he let loose and just overturned the money. Money was flying everywhere. He was throwing tables over. He was chasing those people out of there, out of the temple. And he said, take these things out of here. It is written that My father's house is a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. And they scattered. I would have liked to have seen that. We can see it with the eye of faith. He was lowly in heart when he chased those money changers and turned over all those. And it just grieved him to no end to see what was going on there. And you know, I think there should be a lot of money changers being chased out of the Lord's houses today. So the Lord said, learn of me, I am meek and lowly in heart. In Isaiah, he says, for all these things that my hands have made and all these things that have been, saith the Lord, but to this man will I look, even him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and that trembleth of my word. Learn of me. The high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. That was the one who got on his knees and washed the dirty feet of his disciples. The high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. He's the one that did it, whose name is holy. I want to give you another example. If you'll turn back to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 24. In verse 3, and David is being chased by Saul. Saul, in verse 2 of 1 Samuel, has 3,000 chosen men out of all, he seeking for David. And in verse 3, they came to the sheepcotes, and there was a cave, and Saul went in to cover his feet, and David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. And the men of David said unto him, behold, the day of which the Lord hath said unto thee, behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do unto him as it seemeth good to thee. Then David arose and cut off the skirt, or the border, of Saul's robe privily. And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him, because he had cut off Saul's skirt. And he said unto the men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth my hand against him, seeing he is of the anointed of the Lord. And David stayed his servants with these words, and suffered them not to rise against Saul. But Saul rose up out of the cave and went on his way. And David also rose afterward and went out of the cave. And he cried after Saul, saying, my lord, the king. And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed himself. And David said to Saul, wherefore hearest thou men's words, saying, behold, David seeketh thy hurt. Behold, this day thine eyes have seen how that the Lord had delivered thee today into my hand in the cave, and some bade me to kill thee, but mine eyes spared thee, and I will not put forth mine hand against the Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. And notice verse 14. David said to Saul, who is the king of Israel come out? come out after? After whom dost thou pursue? After a dead dog? After a flea? Now, what was David trying to do? Was he trying to impress Saul with these words? No. David was speaking the truth. Who are you pursuing? A flea? You know, a flea is, you can't even hardly see a flea. They're tiny. They're as tiny as can be. And that's how David perceived himself in his heart to be. And then the same thing happened in chapter 26. When in verse 7, David and Abishai came to the people by night. Behold, Saul's laying sleeping under the trench, and his spear stuck in the ground. But Abner and the people lay around about him. And then said Abishai to David, God hath delivered thine enemy into thine hand this day. Now therefore let me smite him, I pray thee, with the spear, even at the earth once. I will not smite him a second time. And David said to Abishai, destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? And so David took the spear, verse 12, and they got them away. And then David went over to the other side and stood on top of a hill far off, a great space between them. And David cried to the people and to Abner, the son of Ner, saying, answerest thou not, Abner? Then Abner answered and said, who art thou that criest to the king? And David said to Abner, art thou not a valiant man? And who is like to thee in Israel? Wherefore hast thou not kept thy lord the king? For there came one of the people in to destroy the king thy lord. This thing is not good that thou hast done. As the Lord liveth, ye are worthy to die, because you have not kept your master, the Lord's anointed. And now see where the king's spear is, and behold the cruse, and where's the cruse of water? And Saul knew David's voice, and said, is this thy voice, my son David? And David said, it is my voice, my lord, O king. And then look at verse 20. David says, for the king of Israel is come out to seek a flea, as when one doth hunt a partridge in the mountains. I am not worthy. I am not worthy, the prodigal said. Make me a servant. It is not in me, Joseph said. God shall give Pharaoh his answer. Who are you pursuing? A flea? A flea? And of course, we could talk about other examples. What about John the Baptist? All Judea came out to be baptized of John the Baptist. There's not risen a greater prophet. And John preached, saying, there cometh one mightier than me. He's coming after me. The latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie his shoes. I don't know about you, but when I meditate upon these things, the Spirit of God shines the light of the Word of God on my heart. And I hope He does the same to your heart. I'm not worthy. Make me a servant. It is not in me. Who are you seeking? A flea? That's truly what David perceived himself to be. Nothing. A flea is you can't even see it practically. It's so little in size. That's how David perceived himself. John the Baptist. And finally tonight, as a child of God, and turn to Philippians chapter 2. As a child of God, we're supposed to follow Christ's example. In Philippians chapter 2, in verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That statement is very, very deep. It's very, very high. We can't just read over that and say, that's great, go to the next verse. No, you have to stop. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The greatest act of humility ever. This is what this table that we observe tonight is about. He made himself of no reputation. He was a servant. He was made in the likeness of men. He humbled himself and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And he says, let this mind be in you. The question is that mind in you? Is it? Is it in me? We're talking about the high and lofty one who inhabiteth eternity, who dwells in the high and holy place. That one, that's who we're talking about. He made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, made like you and me. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The ultimate, eternal, greatest display of humility. And he wants us to remember it. He wants us to partake of it. And in some way known only to God, who can do the impossible, he wants that mind to be in your mind. And he wants that mind to be my mind, which was also in Christ Jesus. The mind of total surrender. Total surrender. So let's come to the Lord's table tonight and remember the Lord.